can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse. Let's talk about a song that just a little while ago was trending on Billboard's country music chart.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match. Riding on a horse.
The song is Old Town Road by Lil Nas X, about horses, lonely roads, and the spirit of a cowboy. It was charting on Billboard's country music charts until Billboard took it off the charts, suggesting it wasn't country enough. But then Billy Ray Cyrus, a country music legend, disagreed and recorded a version of the song with Lil Nas X that sounds like this.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back.
All right, so now is it country enough now that the white guy is singing along? Well, that question has ignited controversy and a conversation about racism in the country music industry. So what defines a country song, and whose music is left out of that definition? Joining me first is Renee Graham. She's a Boston Globe columnist and a WBUR contributor. Renee, always great to have you. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Anthony.
So what strikes you about this? Billboard took the song off the charts, saying to Rolling Stone that the song does not embrace enough elements of today's country music to chart in its current version. Do you buy that explanation, or what's going on here?
Well, I think you have to define what does it mean when you say today's country music. To me, today's country music sounds quite pop.
Yeah.
So I don't really see how Lil Nas X doesn't fit into that. You know, the first time I heard the song, I thought of it as a country song with hip-hop stylings. But for me, Southern hip-hop has always sounded a little country, whether you're talking about Bubba Sparks or Nelly. So I didn't hear this song and think, wow, what is that doing on country radio, or why would that be on the country charts? It's a country song.
Yeah. So I want to bring Lil Nas X's voice into this. So here he is speaking with Genius about finding out that his song had been taken off the country charts. Here's what he said.
When I found out Billboard took it off the country charts, like before, like, It was even taken off the country charts, I was just happy to be on Billboard at all. And, like, even after they did take it off, I'm like, okay, at least I'm still on Billboard. But then it was, like, I started to think about, I was like, you know, why? After, like, listening to other songs that's actually on that chart, it's like, wait a minute, something's not right, basically.
So something's not right, basically. And what's he referring to there, Renee?
I mean, I think he's wondering why, as a black artist, he was taken off of the country Billboard charts. There have been other black artists recently on the Billboard charts, Kane Brown and Jimmy Allen. But I think with Lil Nas X, his sense is like, look, I feel like I made a country song, and if it's making an impact on the charts, why would you single me out and remove my music?
Yeah. So all this,
you know, it's worth wondering about.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Renee, we've talked to you a little about this in the past. I mean, there's some historic precedent here. Not long ago, we talked about this super famous musician who was completely ignored by country radio stations when he first delved into country. Here he is.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
So, of course, we're talking about the great Ray Charles when he released the 62 album Modern Sounds in Country and Western Music. And, Renee, what happened there?
You know, there were a lot of people who were put off by that. You know, they didn't, you know, you didn't have a lot of black artists in country music. And Ray Charles, in a lot of ways, took country music and did it in a Ray Charles style. So it had an R&B textures to it. It had jazz to it. And people didn't really appreciate that. And there was a lot of pushback, you know, despite the fact that this is considered sort of one of the great albums of the 20th century.
Right. So do you see a sort of straight line from sort of what ailed country, the country music industry, if you will, back then to the controversy to today with Lil Nas X?
Well, you know, I think there's two things. One, I think, you know, again, black artists have always been part of country music. You can think of people like Charlie Pride. But I think there's also been an unspoken rule that you have to be more country than black.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So I think that's one of the problems. I also think there's a kind of genre purity with country, and that's really resistant to change. And it kind of reminds me of in the 70s and the 80s when you had a punk band, The Clash, that started to incorporate hip-hop and reggae into their music. You know, sort of these really traditional hardcore punk fans didn't appreciate that because they felt that it was drifting too far away from what they thought the music should be. But then it kind of, you know, they keep the music in one place, the music gets stagnant, and it doesn't invite other listeners in.
Hmm. Renee, stand by. I want to bring in another voice into this conversation. Joining us right here in the studio is Susan Cataneo. She's an associate professor of songwriting at Berklee College of Music. She's also a country music singer and Americana singer-songwriter. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Anthony.
It's great to have you. Now, so you teach songwriting, music history. What are the core tenets of a country song?
Well, it's so interesting because obviously the core tenets of country music have been up to this point something related to family, something related to farming, land, and faith, certainly usually Christianity in that sense, and then also love.
Yeah.
And obviously of the heterosexual kind at this point. But I completely agree with Renee in saying that, you know, it's really not – I don't think Billboard's responsibility to determine like what is a pure country song, because if we're going to talk about that, probably 85% of what's on country radio right now is breaking the rules. It is essentially pop music with a little bit of a twang in the vocal, and you know, maybe they'll add a pedal steel, but you know, it isn't country music in its purest sense.
Listen to this. So Billy Ray Cyrus issued a defense of the song and its country roots, and he tweeted, "I was thinking, what's not country about it? What's the rudimentary element of a country and western song? Then I thought, it's honest, humble, it has an infectious hook, and a banjo. What more do you need?" Is he right about that?
I think he is, actually. And if you think about back in the 1980s when Shania Twain came onto the scene and her husband was the producer of AC/DC. And so he incorporated AC/DC-style 70s rock foundational stuff into country music. And at that point, there was a little bit of blowback because people were like, that's not country music. That's not the Loretta Lynn, Dolly Parton, Coal Miner's Daughter kind of country. But, you know, country is essentially a mass market genre. And so they're always going to be responding and adopting to what the current music is doing. And I think right now innovation is happening in hip hop and in rap music. Hmm. So it's kind of natural that country music would start adopting that as well.
So what's your response to then the Billboard taking this song down off the country music charts?
I think it's terrible. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I can't, it's very interesting to me that if you look at, I don't know, Bebo Rexha and Florida Georgia Line doing a song that is essentially a pop song. Why aren't they taken off Billboard? I find it really interesting that a hip hop artist and an African American is being taken off the charts. I don't think that's the right thing.
Right. Renee, you obviously agree with that.
I could not agree more. I mean, you know, Florida Georgia Line gets a lot of pushback. You know, they have their current album is called "I Can't Say I Ain't Country." You know, so they hear it a lot from people because they've worked with people like Ziggy Marley and Jason Derulo, and for some purist country fans, that breaks the rules. But again, they're not taken off the country charts. If the records are selling, they're on the chart.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, it does make you wonder what's going on here. Although, I mean, I think I have a feeling what's going on here.
Right. But I mean, maybe this is the wrong question to ask, but I'll come to you with this, Susan. I mean, Lil Nas X, is it important to ask, is he a country music artist or is that not the point? He's doing music that can be interpreted as country music.
I think so. I think he's using,
right.
You know, is it a country music song? Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's like more of a trap song, I think, in its style and how it sounds. But he's certainly using various lyric elements that you find in country music. I think that he perceives himself, you look at him, like he perceives himself, he is adopting the cowboy swagger and the cowboy, you know, it's almost like he's wearing a costume. So does that make him, he's from Atlanta. Is he authentic? Is he authentically country? I don't know. But, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody else. I mean, there are other artists who are from the Northeast. Does that make them inauthentically country? I don't think it's...
Well, I mean, Jimmy Allen. I'm sorry.
Right. No.
Just say Jimmy Allen is from Delaware.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
So, and you know, he did fine, and people felt like what he was doing was authentically country enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's always... And people forget, you know, the Pointer Sisters won their first Grammy in a country category for the song Fairy Tale, and they're from Oakland, California.
Right.
Renee, I'm glad you mentioned Jimmy Allen, because we've got some music of his that we want to play. So Jimmy Allen, a black country singer who's received a Country Music Award nomination this year for New Male Vocalist. So here he is singing Best Shot.
I'm just flesh and bone, heart and soul, and I've earned a couple scars. I've lived once in a lifetime kind of things slide right out of my arms. I struck out, I've been knocked down more times than
Jimmy Allen singing there. I'm laughing because I'm looking behind the glass in the control room, and our director Zoe Mitchell can't stand still because she's dancing to the music. But anyway, nice example there. But Susan, that's a very different sound than Lil Nas X. Again, maybe not the point of to the point that therefore he should be taken off the country music charts. I'm not saying that, but that sounded more country to me.
Well, I agree. Yeah. And I also would have to ask, does it sound like he is an African-American singer? I wonder about that. You know, if you think about back to the 1950s, so the 1950s, the explosion of rock and roll happened because radio DJs started playing African-American artists and white teenagers wanted to hear it. So mm-hmm. they requested that. Mm-hmm. And the initial African-American artists that came out were people like, you know, Fats Domino, who wasn't very, I would say, threatening. And then you had somebody like Little Richard, mm-hmm. who was definitely, you know, 100% himself. And I wonder if country music has a bias. I mean, I got to say that. It's just that song for me, not that I don't like that song, but it sounds it's not necessarily referencing an African-American music like hip hop, like trap. Mm-hmm. That's a very kind of, it's what we've heard before.
Yeah. Renee, do you agree with that?
Oh, I do. I mean, but you know, I was thinking as I was listening to it, you sort of flipped the question around. He's a black artist, but would black radio play Jimmy Allen?
Yeah.
No.
Mm. No, that's interesting.
Probably not, because they would, you
wouldn't
know.
Touch it.
Well, but did
you know?
Black.
Now, black radio.
Right. Sorry.
I do think black radio would play Lil Nas X. I do believe they'd play that, but I don't think they'd play Jimmy Allen or maybe even Kane Brown either, because it doesn't have what people expect to hear on black radio. It doesn't sound like R&B. It doesn't have a soul bass. It doesn't sound church-based, or it's not R&B. So, yes, I'm glad he found a country audience, but I don't know that black radio would embrace that, because there are these walls when it comes to genre and obviously the charts and radio.
Well, speaking of these walls, we spoke earlier today to music critic Tim Riley, who reminded us of this famous story about how a DJ down south first introduced the music of Elvis Presley, which, you know, Elvis Presley obviously hugely influenced by black music on the radio. But here's what Tim said about that.
He said, "This kid goes to Hume's High." Why did he say that? Because it was a blues song. And he wanted everyone to know in the audience that this kid was white. People were going to mistake him for black. But they said, "This kid is from Hume's High. That's the white high school that made the blues playable on the radio."
Susan, you're nodding your head. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been going on for a long time, this kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you listen to interviews of the guy that signed Elvis, you know, he said that he initially had recorded black artists, and then he's like, "I knew that if I could find a white boy who could sing like a blues artist, I would make a lot of money."
Oh, boy.
And Sam Phillips did indeed do that.
Right. So, Renee, go ahead, Renee. I'm sorry.
Also, just one thing I do find interesting is that black radio traditionally will play anyone who sounds like an R&B or a soul artist. So black radio played Boz Scaggs and Tina Marie and The Clash's Magnificent Seven and Radio Clash, because those things sounded, quote unquote, like black music.
Hmm.
So they don't have that line. If you have the sound, you get through the door. And in country music, that might not necessarily be the case.
So we have like 10 seconds left. But Susan, last question to you. I mean, what does all this say about the relevance or the lack of relevance of these music charts in the area, in the era of streaming music, of, you know, all of this is available everywhere all the time?
I mean, I think that that's a really good point. What is the point of these charts? What do they do? Are they just confining people to genres that really don't exist anymore? You know, if you talk about like, if you build it, they will come. People love this song by Lil Nas X. It doesn't matter what genre it is. People are requesting it, and so it's going to get played. Whether Billboard wants them to have it or not, it's going to get played.
All right. That's Susan Cataneo.
Cataneo.
Cataneo. I'm so sorry. We even talked about this before I went on the air, and I still blew it. I'm so sorry. Susan Cataneo, Associate Professor of Songwriting at Berklee College of Music. She's also a singer-songwriter. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having
me. Sorry for mangling your name. And Renee Graham, Boston Globe columnist and WBUR contributor. Renee, it's always great to have you. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.